Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight. Located on the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard in St. Louis, Missouri. If you haven't been by, you need to go over there and check it out. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar. Favorite band or your band or whatever it might be, you can get inside the studio, record, and then your friends and family and fans can all sit in the bar area and listen as the music is recorded, or as a fan you can watch the bands record, and it's just a really unique experience and something you all should go check out. GaslightSTL.com for all full listing of events. They're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. But yeah, we got a big one coming up on Friday, February 3rd. You can come over there and see Brother Oh Brother and the Manus Brothers performing in studio. So they're going to be recording some cool stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. And also, come hungry, there's Cha Cha Chow next door. You can get yourself some tacos, get a cold drink, and listen to some good tunes. So that's going to be on February 3rd. Again, Gaslight STL, full listing of events, everything there. And come on out to Gaslight. Also want to tell you about my friend's music record shop. They've got a brand new location over in the Zach building, if you haven't been by there. It's located at 3224 Locust Street in St. Louis. And you can visit them online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Full records on there. You can go on and see what all the new records coming out. I know this week they got a lot of good stuff coming in from new vinyl from Wilco. They got a Led Zeppelin remastered reprints, Little Fictions, Black Sabbath, Iron Regan, Bright Eyes, The Flaming Lips, Postal Service, The White Stripes, Green Day, and a bunch of other stuff. So come on over to Music Record Shop, located on Locust Street in St. Louis, Missouri. And another big event coming up on the 4th. You can come over and meet Split Lip Rayfield live in store, doing a meet and greet right before their show over at Old Rock House. So come over Saturday, February 4th, and meet Split Lip Rayfield. Again, all listings for your records and events and everything at musicrecordshop.com, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, this is Vijay of Magic Room Brand, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Vijay.
Yep.
Of Magic Room Brand.
Hello everybody.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is exciting for me because we've just been talking for a little while now.
Right.
But we just recently met today. It was the first time, but we've been exchanging some emails, and but you reached out about possibly being a part of it, and I was honored that, you know, it's very cool to see the network expanding, where more and more people are wanting to kind of be a part of it, and I was so it's very cool to see, and especially somebody like yourself that's, you know, doing good things and being an entrepreneur like yourself and
trying,
I'd be happy to help. But yeah, I mean, ever since the beginning, I always wanted to be supportive of, my taste is music and comedy. I have a lot of, you know, friends in music and comedy and on the show, but I'm not limited to that. It's, you know, we've had other small business owners on the show and other, you know, various things.
That's great.
I know we have a mutual friend, Samantha, who does charity works.
Love Samantha, yep.
And she's been on the show with Play It Forward. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's like, and granted, it's around music. It's kind of similar to what you're doing.
Exactly.
So it's, but yeah, so I'm happy to help out some people doing cool things in our community.
Man. I appreciate that. Yeah. Thanks for making time today. St. Louis is good like that, man. It's, everyone is sort of like, you know, 2, maybe 3 degrees away. So it's sure. It's a close network. And then when you even shrink it down to like the local music scene or anything like that, it's always a tight knit group. So it's good.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you, we were kind of discussed it a little bit off mic, but you come from a more of the music background, playing around. You were a drummer and stuff. So. Is that, I guess I'll start there and kind of cover some of the backstory.
Yeah. Where do I start that? Let's see. Well, I'll start with my first band that I started. I was 15. I started a band in high school with two friends of mine, Aaron and Luke. And we were in a band called Previous Engagement. And Shane, we were awful. We were just, we were not good, you know. Yeah. But this was a while back. So this was when like not every high schooler in the brother was in a band, you know. Even less than that, we were writing original music, you know. So my friend Luke in the band was, and still is, just a fantastic songwriter. So we were blessed to sort of have songs that were better than we were. We couldn't really do them justice, but it was an interesting time because we were, you know, playing these songs, listening to a ton of music, and trying to be better than we were, you know. And it was fun to not only sort of learn how to play the instruments that we were playing. I was a drummer at that point, but also at the same time as learning how to play the instrument, you're learning how to be in a band. You know,
sure.
Everyone knows incredibly talented musicians, but when it comes to them playing in a band, it's a totally different dynamic. It's, you know, knowing when kind of not to play and how to listen and how to sort of figure out your puzzle piece within the overall puzzle of that sort of creative dynamic. And we were able to sort of learn that, which has been applicable, you know, in all aspects of life, which is great. But Previous Engagement was a super fun band, and it was a great learning experience, and we still joke around a lot about some of those old recordings that we had. I still have friends many years later, 25 years later, that are like, hey, look what I found in the back of my drawer or under my car, whatever it is.
Sure.
And they'd send me these pictures. I'd be like, wow, that's fantastic. Do me a favor and just burn that thing, you know? But deep down, it's like, it's cool that those things are still popping up and people are still, you know, texting me images of these old, old cassettes of like, you know, a couple hours we spent in my friend's dad's basement studio one afternoon to record this stuff. So it's a lot of fun. But the bug didn't stop there. I was in several bands in college. I went to school in Boston really got into writing a lot of music. I was telling you earlier that being a drummer in a band, the rest of the band is always talking about chord changes and dropping things down a half step and all this whole language of crafting songs that I had no idea what they were talking about. So I was like, right, enough of this. So I went and bought myself a $100 guitar, and including the case, it was kind of a piece of junk, but I loved it, and a chord book, and taught myself chords and taught myself just the basics of just guitar theory so I could be a part of that part of being in a band, you know. I got really into that in college. And played in a band called Kid Wiggum, named after our favorite Simpsons character. And we had fun. We had a mix of like covers and originals, and it was a great time. And then since then, I've been drummers in a lot of bands. The one that really got after it here in St. Louis, I was one of the founding members of a band called the 12-Ounce Prophets several years ago. Started that with a couple friends of mine. We got pretty serious about that band. It was something that we, you know, carved out in our lives and committed a certain amount of time to really working on the songs and writing and performing and sort of really getting involved in the St. Louis music scene, and started really kind of looking around and seeing, wow, this place is an absolute music town, you know?
Sure.
St. Louis is great, as we both know, for many reasons, but one of the main ones is that it can offer everything, you know. But unlike other cities where they just cram it down your throat, you know, like certain cities are like, look at us, we've got this, look at us, you know, St. Louis is a little bit more chill about it.
Right.
And everything's there if you know where to look, you know. And being part of the St. Louis music scene with the 12-Ounce Prophets really opened my eyes to just this whole, I don't know, calling it counterculture may be a little cheesy, but this whole sort of community of artists, a wide variety of musical genres, covers, oh, yeah, and originals, and different levels of, and it was, and they're all really supportive, as you know, more than anybody. You know, you're still right in the middle of it, and it was really great, and we got hooked. You know, we're playing a ton of shows all the time, and really got after it. From there, I was also playing in a band called Plum Tucker. And our front man had left. He'd moved with his wife to Oregon. And we're like, well, what do we do? Do we find someone else to get up there and sing and play guitar and play original music? And I was like, you know what? Let me give this a whirl, you know? So I stepped up front, and that was my first sort of foray into being a front man of a band. And we added a sax player and a percussion player and a keyboard player, and the band kind of got big and electric, and we played Broadway Oyster Bar a bunch, and it was a lot of fun, and that was sort of I still was playing drums with Tobot's Prophets, but you know, trying something new and different, being a front man in that band. So that band led into my last band, which is called The Removers, which I was also the front man for. We cut a couple records and released those, and you know, got to play with a couple friends of mine, Eric, Rachel, Chris, and Dave, who it was super fun because it was like playing with your favorite band ever, and you get to go up there and play your songs with like your favorite band is really what it was.
Right.
I was up there just giddy because they made sounding good super easy. I could go up there and just, you know, do armpit noises for an hour, and they would somehow make it look, you know, and sound good, you know. So it was just like, yeah, these guys were great. So it was like playing songs that you wrote with your favorite band, you know. So it was fantastic. Since then, you know, I've just sort of been playing here and there with friends, slowly sort of cutting a solo record with my friend Danny, sort of, you know, appearing on other friends' records as they start recording them. But it's been fun, man. But the, you know, now with Magic Room Brand, it's sort of a way to sort of reconnect, you know, with a lot of old friends in a different way.
For sure.
Know? So it's been fun.
So you mentioned playing a lot, playing guitar, playing drums. But where do you get this idea that there could be something different with the picks and sticks? And
yeah, that's a good question. So, as I said, I was sort of, you know, a musician, more than a hobby musician, for over 30 years now. There was always just this elephant in the room that was being ignored by some of the more established brands for sticks and picks specifically, that there was just really no viable eco-friendly option in the marketplace. Being a consumer for over 30 years, and I was actually, while I was in business school, was the manager of the Guitar Center drum department. So I was there for almost 2 years to sort of get the consumer behavior on the other side of the counter. And there was really no viable eco-friendly option that was out there. A lot of the innovations that some of these companies, which I love, by the way, but a lot of these innovations really weren't solving problems, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, they added a fraction of an ounce of weight to the butt end of the stick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Cool. What does, you know, I don't know what that problem that solves, but
right.
Where is the research that shows that people were clamoring for that? Like, there really isn't any, you know, and it just seems like specifically, I mean, I guess more specifically these past couple of years, they're just out of ideas, you know, and still there wasn't really anyone saying, all right, let's just present this viable eco-friendly option. You know, I don't want a sustainable product, but it's low quality product. I had no interest in bringing that. So with Magic Room Brand, I was sort of like, all right, well, now it's time. I'm going to at least try to make this a forefront issue in the music accessories marketplace that they've sort of lagged behind in any sort of sustainability or eco-friendly options. So Magic Room Brand products are made of bamboo. So bamboo is actually a grass and not wood, which a lot of people think, oh yeah, I didn't think about that, but it's actually grass. And it grows just wicked fast. The best bamboo grass in the world is in the coastal region of China, and it grows incredibly, incredibly fast, several feet in a matter of days or a week.
Hmm.
So drumsticks, for instance, Shane, I think are maple, hickory, and oak from lightest to heaviest. They use these hardening lacquers. The drumsticks use this lacquer, this chemical lacquer, to make it really, really hard for durability. And even though a lot of these companies are quote-unquote sustainably harvesting wood for this stuff, at the end of the day, you're still bringing down a 70-plus-year-old tree to make this stuff. That's how long it takes for that wood to mature enough to make a precision instrument like a drumstick. Where bamboo grass, it takes a tenth of that time, anywhere between 5 to 6 years, and you can make a precision item out of bamboo, a precision drumstick out of bamboo. It's going to be lighter than maple, but stronger than oak, which opens up a lot of possibilities because it's got great feel, it's great sound, which is the first thing that musicians care about. But at the end of the day, not only I wanted it to be at least as good as current drumsticks, but also add that eco-friendly option. And the research and development that I've done these past almost year, I'm happier about the quality of the product. They're lighter, they're stronger, they sound better, they're more durable. And at the end of the day, when drumsticks finally find their time, and their time is done, which just by the nature of the product is going to happen, you stick those suckers in the ground, poof, yeah. You go away, you know? Guitar picks the same thing. Right now, they're primarily made out of plastic. And we don't hear a lot about it too much, but that plastic mountain that's floating in the ocean is terrifying. You know, it's getting scarier by the day. So I think at least injecting a certain sense or element of sustainability in that marketplace for musicians, I think, is good. And I think it may not be for everybody, just like any brand. But there are musicians out there that care how they make what they make. And I think Magic Room brand products are for them.
Yeah. I have seen like something recently where like you can, that's kind of basically a punch where you can turn your like credit cards into guitar picks and stuff. So at least that's something in the idea of recycling and reusing. But you're saying you have one that is completely biodegradable, you know, and not having to worry about even the plastic at all. So.
Exactly. Yeah, that actually got that punch thing for Christmas a couple years ago. It's great. You know, it's again, you know, focusing on that whole idea of it, I love, because it's focusing on just reusing items, you know.
Right.
Old credit cards you chop up and you throw away, and it's like, well, there goes some plastic out in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, everything in the history of the world that's ever been made of plastic still exists somewhere in some shape, way, or form, which is a terrifying fact.
Yeah.
But yeah, that pick punch or whatever it was called, I got one of those somewhere in one of these drawers, and it's great. It's a good idea.
Yeah, but yeah, like it's kind of neat to more of the wooden and the biodegradable and more of a natural, you know, something new. I think it's really cool. I mean, it's just a neat idea and something you and all this is it's being manufactured over there, but you're selling all of the product here.
Yeah, I did all the design and research and development here. Mm-hmm. I'm partnered with expert bamboo craftsmen in Jingxiao, China, which is where the best bamboo in the world is and the best expertise working with bamboo is. There's really not a whole lot in the U.S., unfortunately.
Right.
And I didn't want to sacrifice any quality of the product. So our first generation product of picks and sticks, I'm super happy with. Coming out with product, it's a little different than like if I had some sort of tech business where you come out with something and then if, you know, in order to fix it, you kind of fix a line of code and launch it and everything's fixed for everybody. It's not like that with consumable and packaged goods. You know, you want to make it at least viable and good, you know, right out of the gates. So I spent a lot of months doing that. But yeah, they produce everything to my specs and I do a lot of the testing and quality assurance on this end as well as on that end. And the first generation products I'm super happy with. We opened the store at magicroombrand.com. Privately, I sent it out to my email subscribers end of September, but really opened to the world in October. So what is that? A little over 3 months, almost 4 months now.
Yeah, wow.
And it's been exciting, you know. I was doing a ton of market research, which is still a little theoretical, talking to a lot of musician friends. But now that the store is open, I'm getting a great response and a lot of feedback from musicians that I know, but also that I don't know, which is always great. Customers from all across the country, you know, which is, it's always nice to see friends supporting you, but it's even better, really, when it's, you can transcend that layer of friendship or people that are trying to support Vijay as a person.
Yeah.
And people that you don't know that really like your products, you know. So it's so far in this the young company, it's been almost 4 months. The store's been open. Getting a variety of customers from all over the country, different styles of music and different levels of expertise of playing, both drummers and guitar players. So it's been great.
Yeah, that is crazy. I mean, with the show and everything else, I've seen how far out that the network can get, and like where you find out people are listening all over the world or whatever, and it's like, but the internet has made. I mean, it's obviously the world's huge, but the internet has made it feel a lot smaller when you can talk to somebody from other side of the world and they are a fan of your product or whatever it is. So.
Absolutely. It's great. I was just this past week, someone from Amsterdam shot me a note on Instagram like, hey, how can I get some of your sticks?
Right.
I was like, wow, okay. Yeah. And I've been kind of going back and forth with him and trying to get something from him, and then someone else from New Zealand. Just like, wow, that's, you can't go much farther away from where we are without like being on your way back. I mean? So it's like, wow, that's fantastic. So it kind of makes you think like, wow, that's pretty cool. People they know what I'm trying to do here.
Yeah.
On the other side of the planet. So it's exciting.
Yeah, man. Very cool.
Yeah.
MagicRoomBrand.com. Get on there and check it out. Currently, just picks and sticks, but,
yep.
Are you looking to continue to develop and expand the line into?
Absolutely, I think 2017 is going to have some big things in store. Right now, there's six styles of guitar picks, shapes and styles, made of a composite bamboo fiber or straight bamboo grass, and we've got two sizes of drumsticks, 7A and 5B. I'll be looking to expand sizes of drumsticks to 5A and 2B. Drummers out there will know what I mean, but the different circumference and diameters of drumsticks. But I am working on a couple partnerships. I'll be expanding the product line quite a bit, hopefully, in 2017. I think the first thing that I'll be looking to release are guitar straps that I've designed, made of bamboo fiber. So it's just like bamboo fiber and fabric, super soft, comfortable, and they look great. And I'm finalizing those designs right now and hopefully get those out. I'm shooting for this spring, so that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
I'm working with a boutique drum manufacturer out of Orange County, California, partnering with them to come out with some limited edition items for drums. Specific to Magic Room Brand, which is going to be great, specifically a snare drum to go first to get into that, which will be exciting. I'm excited to sort of get into that world. A couple more things to come. So it's going to be an exciting time.
Yeah. So everything's bamboo-based? I mean,
yeah.
Is there going to be... there will never be other stuff?
Well, I don't want to say that we're only working with bamboo.
Right.
The initial idea was just to really keep it eco-friendly.
Sure.
It can be really made of anything as long as it's eco-friendly and it sounds awesome, mm-hmm. and they're durable, quality items, right now everything is revolving around bamboo, mainly chain, because bamboo is super versatile.
Sure.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
There's like hardwood flooring you can make out of bamboo. In China, they use bamboo for... when they build buildings, the word is escaping me, but they scaffolding for buildings, they're using bamboo because it's super light but super strong, so it's easy to move around, but it's as strong as steel in some cases, we probably have like t-shirts, super soft t-shirts that are made of bamboo fiber blended with cotton, so it's incredibly versatile. So right now I'm sort of circling around the material of bamboo to see what I can do with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be partnering with this boutique pedal board maker to see what we can do together this year. So everything's going to be revolved around the eco-friendly material. Now, drumsticks and guitar picks are obviously consumable items that get lost or break and their time comes. So you get those and you can stick them in the ground and bury them and pat yourself on the back and then be on your way, I don't think anyone's going to be burying a snare drum or a pedal board or guitar straps anytime soon. But just to sort of keep that brand of being eco-friendly, sustainable, I think I'd be sort of sticking with that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That'd be fun too. Like I was thinking, guitar straps. I mean, there could be neat to like expand that into being customizable too and stuff. There's a lot of obviously people like, you know, their name or whatever, various things on
absolutely
on their strap. So
yeah,
could be a nice touch to continue to
look into that. That's great.
Yeah, sure. but yeah, that where does a Magic Room Brand come from? Where do you come up with the name?
The name. Well, the band I mentioned earlier when I was 15, we're called Previous Engagement, and before Aaron joined on guitar, and I laugh because he knew three chords on guitar when he joined the band. It was just Luke and I. Luke was a singer and keyboard player, and I was a drummer, and we were making a ton of noise in my parents' basement. And we didn't have any gear. We had nothing. He was using like an old like desk for a keyboard stand, and I was blessed enough to have a drum kit, although I didn't really know exactly how to use it or play it just yet. But we didn't have anything, mic stands, anything like that. And this wasn't a time where you could just, you know, run up to a music shop on the corner of where you lived and grab stuff. So we didn't have money for that anyway, even if it did exist. So right next to where we practiced in my parents' basement, in that room, there was a storage room. And we used to go in there and click the light on, and this is where my parents just kept all their junk, just broken stuff, you know? And I remember we needed a mic stand. We're like, all right, because before, honestly, Shane, we were duct taping like $8 mics to the brims of our hats and having them hang down. I mean, it was pretty rough, you know? Right. But we were happy with it. We're like, all right. But then it got to the point where we're like, all right, well, if we, you know, have this gig at our buddy's house, we're not doing this. We got to at least act like we know what we're doing. So we went into my parents' storage room, and I found a broken pool cue and a torn lampshade, and I picked up the pool cue and boom, stuck it down into the lampshade and let go, and it stood up. And we were so excited that we had this mic stand now, you know? And with a bunch of broken stuff and a ton of duct tape, we used to just make our gear. You know what I mean? And we were psyched about it. So every time we went into the storage room, we looked for something. We're like, all right, so what can we, you know, whip up? And without fail, we always walked out of there with exactly what we needed. It was pretty, you know, just whipped together with duct tape. But instead of crediting any sort of young ingenuity that we might have had, we always gave credit to that room. We're like, man, that room has everything that we need all the time. That room is like the magic room, you know? And we still call it that today. And it's one of those things. We're like, man, that room, that's the magic room. Let's go to the magic room and try to find out what we can duct tape together, you know? And it never let us down, right? So that whole idea of like, you know, creativity, you know, breeding, you know, ingenuity was something that I really wanted to be kind of a groundwork for the business I've started.
Yeah,
so,
man.
I liked that whole idea. At first, I was just referring it to Magic Room as I was sort of coming up with the idea and seeing how it was going to work, what the business model was going to be. But then it kind of stuck, and I was like, you know what? I think this is what I'm going with. So that whole idea of sort of the inspiration.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's fun. I've heard stories out. I mean, I was one of those kids too, out there making ramps and stuff in the streets.
Oh, yeah.
But I never heard of making mic stands and things.
Yeah. I got to find that. I was telling the story a while ago, and someone was like, do you still have that thing? I'm like, man, I got to find that. I got to somehow find that thing and put it in my office or
sure,
do something with it, because that's like kind of how the whole thing started. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah. Man, very cool. hopefully 2017 and on, hopefully Magic Room Brand continues to grow and expand and things. Currently you're doing a lot of this from your home, right?
From my home.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been fun. I like working from home is good. It's a little bit of an adventure. But luckily I've got that spot sort of tucked away in the corner of the basement where I can be creative and do a lot of work down there without being a distraction or being distracted. So it's kind of nice.
Sure.
Yeah.
But do you see yourself hopefully in the future, you know, maybe getting in like Guitar Center or these other distributors and things?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's another plan for 2017 is sort of figuring out, nailing down sort of the dealer network of where Magic Room Brand is going to be. Being such a young business, I do want to little bit of a dramatic word, but protect the brand a little bit, just to sort of keep things direct to consumer. It's just an online brand,
right.
And I've got a little bit of control of how the product is displayed and how the brand interacts with customers.
Yeah, definitely.
Right now, I mean, it's a lot of work, but to me, it's worth it. I'm not in this to minimize work, of course. I knew what I was getting into. Right now, for every order, there's a handwritten note, to everybody. And it's I'm trying to keep the brand really personal to have that connection. There's a lot of brands out there just that are big, and it has really nothing to do with size, I guess, but there's a it loses a little bit of a personal touch. And I think the connection musicians or any artist really have with their tools of the trade, I think is important, as we both know,
yeah.
And I think there should be that personal connection and that that really connects them with their stuff, because they're doing something they can't help not to do it. And I say they, I mean we,
sure.
We can't help not to do new this stuff. It's almost like it's not a choice, but it's just like, I have to do this stuff to be who I am. I don't mean to be cheesy, but like it's part of us at this point.
Yeah.
So having that personal connection with the brand that's providing you with your tools of the trade, I think is needs to be there.
Oh yeah, yeah, that goes so far for me. Like I'm a big fan of I always go back to music, but
sure.
and stuff. But you see a lot of these bands, they'll like hand make their CDs, and like
yeah.
I have friends that even put like a. They get like the wax stamp and everything, seal it up and all.
So love it.
You get a lot more a personal touch. You know, somebody actually hand put this together.
Yeah.
Even handwritten number or whatever,
yeah.
Different things. So it's, those little touches, just go so far for a fan.
Yeah.
And especially, like I said, getting something handwritten or a personal message or anything. And
yeah.
One time I bought this guy's CD. And a comedian, and he wrote me. It was just on a 3x5 index card, but it was nice. He wrote me it was a personal message, handwritten, and he's like something. Obviously, he saw my name was Shane, and he was like, said something like, "Hey man, sorry your name. Tried to watch the movie Shane a couple different times, and I always fall asleep through it." And he's like, "Sorry you're named after such a boring movie," or something like that, or whatever,
yeah.
So it just made me laugh, but it was just like, it sticks with me. It's like something like that, obviously, he went above and beyond, and taking the time to reach out to a fan and stuff, so.
That's great. It's important to note there's this, there's people on the other end of it,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So on both sides, it's a person over here and a person over here, so it's, that's good. That's sort of what I'm trying to protect here, so.
Yeah.
Eventually, I think once I expand into the dealer network and then the stores, I think that'll be good, just for distribution purposes and just to sort of get Magic Room brand products to as many people as possible.
Right.
But at this point, I just want to be sure that that the brand is sort of, established a little bit before it potentially could get diluted.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that, you see, even in, beers, we got a lot of these craft beer kind of things coming up, Schlafly or whatever, and but they have a nice display in all the grocery stores and things, and
yeah.
So I mean, you're kind of separated. You're not just with every other line of beer and things or whatever. They have their own special stuff sometimes, or
yeah.
So it could be something like that, maybe, and find yourself in a store and get your own Magic Room brand, display or
there
whatever,
you go.
Kind of something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Just let everybody know something a little different. It's not your average stick or whatever.
Yeah,
something,
exactly.
So something different.
Yeah.
So I guess it sounds like from your stories, being a kid and everything, has always been resourceful and reusing, recycling, and all that. So where is this? Just something you've always been a big part of, been important to you in life?
I think so. It's been important. It's easier said than done. I mean, we're always all trying to, reduce the carbon footprint,
yeah.
be eco-friendly and stuff. And it's easy in some places, but it can be difficult in other places as
yeah.
well. So you just try to do your best, I think what I'm doing here with Magic Room Brand now is, at the very least, a first step you know, into sort of making sustainability and eco-friendliness at least an issue in the marketplace of musician accessories. That's what I'm trying to do, sort of keep it as a kind of something, address musicians that actually care about it. And even for musicians that don't care about it, you know, maybe make them realize, oh, well, actually, you know what? I kind of do care about this. I might be interested in trying some products out. I think, you know, a lot of times when someone comes up with a new brand or new product, they just kind of want to take over the world and be like, or don't use anything else. Ours is the only good stuff. And I'll be honest, I'm not like that at all. You know, I think, like, if you ask any guitarists what, you know, to pull out all the picks they have in their pocket, there's probably going to be 3 or 4 different brands of picks in there. You know, same with drumsticks. You know, you look in their stick bag, there's 3 or 4 different brands in there. That's fine. I am confident when I say that I think that Magic Room brand sticks and picks, we do deserve a spot in your pocket, a spot in your drumstick bag. You know, we're not saying that everything else is garbage. Don't use it. How do you sleep at night using another brand? You know, it's not it's not that. But I think Magic Room brand is, has earned at least a spot in the drumstick bag or your pocket for your picks. So,
I got to see some of the operation downstairs, and looks like all your the packaging is all eco-friendly as well, with a lot of recycled cardboard and things.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's tough when you're trying to be an eco-friendly business, but also be a subscription model business. Mm-hmm. We offer one-time shop orders like any other online brand or e-commerce brand. But with sticks and picks that get lost or just find their time and they break, and after you bury them, Magic Room brand offers a subscription model, so you can get this stuff delivered right to your front door every month or every other month or however you want. We use, as you saw, pretty much trying to keep that line of sustainability and eco-friendliness throughout the whole process. The boxes we use are 100% recycled cardboard boxes, and I encourage customers, and there is a little note that they get, to keep the boxes. You know, the reason I decided to choose the really strong, good craft cardboard boxes is because when you get them, you get the subscription, you take your picks out, you can keep the boxes, and there's even a space on the side of the boxes where you can label it anything you want. Legos, cufflinks, quarter inch screws, whatever it is, and you keep them.
Yeah.
And that way you don't have to throw those away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I saw something online of kind of us going along with a similar idea of, we all got to do our part. But I think Amazon's doing something like where you can just drop in like the whatever stuff and like for Goodwill. Mm-hmm. It's got some kind of return shipping address thing or whatever, but you can like just package anything you want that you want to give to Goodwill, and it gets picked up by UPS or whoever.
Wow.
Kind of thing. But
yeah,
the same kind of idea like for Amazon boxes, like because a lot of people are shopping online for Amazon, but instead of all those boxes winding up in trash or recycle, and they can be repurposed and for good for somebody in need. So
that's great.
So there's a I don't know all the details on that. It was something I saw online, but I was like, that's a cool idea.
I love the idea. I think just in the past several years, there's before being eco-friendly or having sort of a corporate social responsibility, I think it was sort of a nice to have. But now it's you need it.
Sure.
People care. People are just like, all right, where have you guys been? You either have it or you don't. So we got a lot of companies are thinking of they gotta do something. Unfortunately, like we talked about, the music accessories marketplace has lagged a little bit into that. But that's what I'm hoping to shake up a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, man, I think you're onto something. I think it's definitely something we all need to do our part. Like you're saying, we've got a lot of work to do, and I think this is a good step in the right direction.
I'm hoping. Yeah.
So if you got some friends, everybody, we all got musician friends.
We sure do.
So I'm check out MagicRoomBrand.com and look into getting some picks and sticks and more. We'll have more coming soon.
Yeah, 2017 will be a big year, so we're looking forward to it.
But yeah, man, this has been fantastic. I appreciate you taking a little time out to hang and getting to meet you.
Of course, thanks for coming by.
But yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.